from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now, he is Tim Mumma, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. Tim, thanks for coming on, my friend.
Hey, my pleasure.
This is nice. You and I back on the radio together again. Now when I yell at you, everybody's really going to hear me yell at you, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
Hey, some news from earlier today. Trevor McGill reinstated off of the concussion list by the Brewers, and they need his arm in that bullpen right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think everyone was kind of knew what was going to happen with the starting pitching, and then you had some injuries pile up, and now you've had a little uncertainty in the bullpen with guys like Uribe and even some injuries out there as well. So getting him back is huge. He's been, he's been phenomenal for them since they picked him up last year. And, you could see him filling a number of roles, including that closer spot, since it seems like Uribe might kind of be floating around a little bit till he kind of figured things out again.
He's not the closer. I figured it out. We don't have to figure anything else out. He's not the guy. I told you before the season started, I questioned the maturity level and whether or not he was ready for that role. And he clearly isn't ready for that role. I think Pyomps is the closer now until we get Devin Williams back. I don't see who else it would be.
Well, some of it, truthfully, and if you go to BrewerFanatic.com, some of our writers have done a great job on this. Uribe has kind of changed up a little bit what he's doing with his pitches. And it's, there's always a little transition period trying to figure out how that's going to work. Obviously, as you mentioned, he's, still inexperienced. And really with his pitch selection that he's looking to do, he's trying to find more control and more command. And obviously that's not quite there yet. But I think that's messing with him a little bit, and he's trying to work through things. But to your point, you want to stick with somebody who you see as reliable, who can be more consistent. And if that's Pyomps right now, that's who it is. But I don't think Murphy's really committing one way or the other to anybody. It's kind of a hot hand situation. This week it's one guy, maybe next week it's McGill. And I don't think there's anything wrong going that route unless you have that true proven elite lockdown closer like you do in Williams. And hopefully when you get him back, you're still in a position where he's going to make a big difference.
That shutout by the bullpen day the other day, very, very impressive.
Huge.
And much needed for this Brewers team. They salvage a win in this series without having to burn a starter. Then you get a day off. Now, again, it's April, I understand, so there's no must-win series or anything like that. But now you start doing these interdivision games. These are important. You will remember these come end of September if there's tiebreakers or whatever else. St. Louis deemed to be an old team coming into this year, that some looked at it and said, no, they're not going to be that team. They'll be middle of the road, probably won't challenge for the division. But Sonny Gray has pitched well for them. This series here for the Brewers going on the road to Milwaukee, their offense was red hot up to that Padres series, and then it cooled off. It needs to get going again here in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone expected there was going to be a drop-off. I mean, they're running so hot, especially that streak on the road. For whatever reason, they're seeing the ball better, hitting the ball better on the road. But, it's a long year. You're going to have those ebbs and flows. You have young guys that you're dealing with, including Jackson Chirio. But I think there's been a lot of just positive, vibes with the lineup. There's been a lot of positive situational hitting. I think it's just a different team, a different offense that we've seen in the past couple of years that's going to allow them to to actually keep it going throughout the course of the season. Again, you're going to have these slumps and funks that the guy's going to go through. That's just baseball. But I don't think you're going to see it be as detrimental to the team that we have in the past. Even a game, I know they were no hit for seven innings basically the other day, just to scratch out a run with a couple of, you know, Terrain gets on, steals a base, and then Blake Perkins, MVP Blake Perkins, drives them in. I mean, that's what you're going to see a little bit more of than necessarily hitting a bunch of long balls. But those will come too. I think come summer, you'll get a lot more of those from some of your big boppers. But I really like the way that overall the lineup is constructed, especially when everyone's healthy, and the way they're battling and finding ways to score runs. But it's kind of a refreshing way to see baseball be played again.
Talk with Tim Mumma of BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. Let's talk about Terang. Terang, the year before he got drafted by the Brewers, a lot of people thought he would have been one had he been able to come out. Then the pressure, whatever, mounted. It got to him a little bit, and he falls in that first round. The Brewers end up taking him. When he first comes up to the big leagues, he's not really hitting all that much last year. So everybody's like, well, he's probably just not going to be able to hit. It probably is what it is. Great defensive player, so he's worth keeping around because he's so good defensively. But offensively now, he's kind of taken off. What's changed?
I think maybe a little bit accepting who he is as a hitter. I mean, of course, everyone wants to have a little bit of power, and I know there were some experts who said he was going to develop that a little bit more. I think he's better off being a guy who just finds a way on base, makes good contact, drops down those bunts when he can. I think there's a lot of value in a guy who can hit the bottom third of the lineup and get on base at a somewhat consistent basis, use his speed. I mean, and then obviously, as you talked about, the elite defense. I think so many times we think a lineup has to have 1 through 9, a bunch of power hitters and guys that are just going to mash, but that's not realistic, especially, like it or not, in Milwaukee, because you're probably not going to be able to afford all those guys at the same time. So I think if he can keep accepting that, you know, I'm going to be more of a contact guy, I'm going to battle at the plate, I'm going to do little things, I think he could have himself a really nice career as a starting second baseman. And maybe every once in a while he sneaks in, you know, one of these high-profile all-star type seasons where he just, you know, finds a few more barrels, steals so many bases, and scores so many runs that they just can't ignore him. So, I'm definitely rooting for the guy. I love great defense, so it's nice to see someone like him who obviously that's his strength, is his glove and his range and his arm. But it's nice to see so far that he's off to another good start and a little bit longer than last year. Last year he kind of had a good first week and then it was disappeared for a while. But he's still up there battling, putting the ball in play. And as we talked about the last game, he really set things going to get that 1-0 victory.
It's interesting. I saw like a 4-minute clip yesterday from MLB Network on TV. They did a whole thing on William Contreras and they went back and they looked at the trade for Murphy going from Oakland to Atlanta, the catcher. And the Brewers end up giving Esteury Ruiz up, who I think he hit a home run yesterday or the other day, something like that. But he at one point has already been optioned down to AAA, and they brought him back up. And the Brewers end up with Piams, another kid, and then William Contreras. When they got William Contreras, you look at all of his measurables defensively, they were all negatives. Now they're all positives, and his bat has become a huge positive this season. You're talking about probably a perennial all-star catcher at this point.
Oh, 100%. And I think the reason you're seeing it from him, especially as an everyday guy, I mean, he really genuinely seems to love it and put in the work and play every day. I mean, of course, they're going to give him his days off and stuff, but it sounds cliche, but he's just a baseball player. You know, he does all these little things when he's behind the plate, trying to throw off the hitter. When he's at the plate hitting, he might shorten up and go the other way. He might move around in the box a little bit to mess with the pitcher. He just does these things that makes him a winning player. And then on top of that, he just has, you know, tremendous talent, right? And right now he's showing it off on both sides. Like you said, defensively, there are a lot of question marks when he came over. I think just getting work in with the Brewers staff, I think that helped a ton. And if he can keep his bat the way he's been hitting, I mean, he really is, I've heard people say, a sneaky MVP candidate. Now, is he really going to win an MVP? Probably not. It's extremely difficult for a catcher to do that nowadays. But the guy doesn't want to take a day off. He's in there every night leading the offense in a premier spot in the lineup. I love Contreras. I don't think there's any reason anybody would not like him at this point. And, you know, with Jefferson Caro going down, you don't know what his future is going to look like. It's a good thing we got Contreras locked up. You know, obviously.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At some point, you might want to talk extension, but right now the Brewers are just happy to have him really lead the offense.
Absolute stud. No question about it. I mean, you think of Yadier Molina being that guy for 100 years in St. Louis and hating him every time you faced him. I would love William Contreras to be that guy every time somebody faces the Brewers. They don't want to deal with Contreras. Like, that would be the ultimate dream. He is Tim Mumma of BrewerFanatic.com. Check him out on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. You brought up MVP, so let's talk about Christian Yelich. You know, he gets off to a hot start. Fooled me. He did. I was in. I was like, oh boy. I mean, power's there, hitting balls off walls, hitting balls over the fence, defensively throwing guys out. Man, maybe he finally turned the corner. Maybe this is going to be the dude who we saw before. Maybe finally. And then we have back spasms and we're back on the IL again. This is just kind of the reality, I think. Like, I just don't think realistically you could expect him to be what he was. Maybe you get stretches of, you know, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, where he catches fire and goes. But you almost have to go into every season thinking he's probably going to play like 120 of 162 or something along those lines, where you're going to lose him for stretches.
Yeah, that is the reality of it. And, you know, there are a number of ball players that go through that when they start to get into their 30s. I mean, Braun had the same kind of stretches, and you could point to a number of different players and teams where you have to kind of balance out, is he more valuable to us being that healthy 120, 130 games versus pushing him and trying to get him to those higher marks, but then are you risking further injury? Are you risking prolonged absences? And you can see, I mean, a little bit with the tail off of the offense, maybe the last week has been him out of the lineup. It does change things around as much as other guys have stepped up. But I think he can be still extremely valuable. I mean, last year, if you look at the overall resume that he had, okay, he didn't have all the power he was going to have as an MVP, and he's not going to ever have that again. But, you know, he hit plenty of home runs, especially hitting leadoff. He's getting on base. He's obviously a great base runner. And to your point, if he can keep playing well in the outfield, at least that keeps that DH spot open for other guys for the most part. So, again, you have to be realistic as you get into the later stages of a guy's career. I mean, I think it's great that he had this quick resurgence. Obviously, it just thinks that he goes on to the IL. But if they could manage it like they have, like I said, it's almost like the Ryan Braun path where you manage it as much as you can. Keep him in the lineup, you know, give him those off days when you can. And then if you can get him for a healthy 130 games where he is, you know, just a 110, 115 OPS plus kind of guy, I think that's huge, especially, again, because I think this lineup around him is going to be able to produce more than they did last year.
This offense is so good. We literally could talk about every single player at offense and praise everybody. So, you know, I know Willie Adames has been good and all that. Fine. I only got one more player I want to talk to you about. Jackson Chourio. Huge expectations coming into this season, Tim Mumma. Not really knowing what to expect. He got off to a good start. Then the Battle of Jacksons in Baltimore occurred. Both of them didn't do all that much. Then Chourio bounces back with a home run the other night and a couple of hits, and then follows that up with another 0-for game. I think this is kind of what you expect when you have a rookie, regardless of there's going to be these inconsistencies. He's going to get hot for stretches. You're like, ho, that's what we're talking about. And then he'll go into a little bit of a funk as people adjust to what he brings to the plate.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you brought up, Jackson Holliday. I think he started off like 1-for-20 or 1-for-21. I mean, it's going to happen. It's tough. It's the majors, man. I don't care how good you are. You're going to have those those struggles, those adjustments. And I think as long as people can be, you know, understanding, and it seems like they are, I don't see anybody like trashing him online. And I think they still like what he's doing and they understand there's going to be that. To your point, I think it's, you got to keep looking at the ceiling and what he can do to develop throughout the course of the year. You know, obviously don't worry too much about defense, but you see him a little bit skittish in the outfield yet and tracking some fly balls. But then, you know, he has that elite speed to make up for in the outfield. And then at the plate, just putting the ball in play, he'll hit for more power as he gets more mature. But just finding ways to battle, I think that's what people really want to see. He had an at bat the other day against the Padres, a big one at the time, and it was one of those, yep, he's a rookie, because he really kind of was completely lost at the plate and ended up striking out swinging. So you're going to get those, but then you're going to get stretches where you see that elite talent come through and that he's going to carry the Brewers for a game or two, or he's going to have that big hit, or he's going to steal a base and then score, you know, score on a knock from somebody else. So I think, you know, it's exciting to see it. It's exciting to have somebody with all those expectations, as long as you keep it, you know, real and understand that he's not going to come out and hit 330 with 30 home runs. That's just never going to happen with a major leaguer anymore. So, you know, enjoy the stretches, cheer him on. Don't get too down if he's struggling. And, you know, I think the nice part is, and Murphy's been doing that, is he'll move him up in the lineup when he's feeling good about him, and he'll hit him, you know, 7, 8, 9 when he's not, and hopefully that takes a little pressure off. He doesn't have to be the guy in this lineup. He can just kind of do his own thing when he needs to.
Let's talk about Pat Murphy. I love Pat Murphy. I mean, this is the most old-school manager we've had in quite some time. I mean, obviously, I'm sure he buys into some analytics, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff like the fake steal to score a run and stuff like that that you just have not seen in past years.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to see. I think, like you said, it's kind of an intriguing balance, because he's obviously an older guy and he's been around the block, but you know, he's also sees what modern baseball is and what you need to focus on. And I'm sure he's working hand in hand with Arnold and the front office as far as making all those big decisions. But yeah, day to day, I think it's fun to see. And he's got a team it's a diverse enough offense where you can do those little things. You can steal, you can try to hit and run, you can drop down some bunts. And then if you got guys that are in the middle of the order, they can knock them out, then let them do their thing. And that's what I was saying too. I mean, we look at it offensively, because you don't necessarily see those differences defensively, but you've seen him do little things that are slightly different in the bullpen. Some things look just like if Council was managing other things, it looks like they're trying some new things, like, again, Uribe pitching in the eighth and then the fourth and then the seventh. You know, not that he was the closer, but just that they're moving around and pitching wherever they need to. So, I agree. And I know all the media people who've been dealing with Murphy have loved him since spring training.
He's so funny.
He's just like a grandpa sitting back and chatting with everybody and doesn't really care. And sometimes that's the best person you can have with a microphone. It's like, yeah, I don't care what I say. This is who I am. And you just have to deal with it.
But you know what, though, that's funny about that? And I've brought this up. He doesn't call guys by name necessarily, but it's like, yeah, Bob busted, got lost in the lights, didn't catch that one or whatever. I mean, yeah, he's just telling you, like, that should have been caught. We're not going to get into who it was, but, you know, there's a ball out there that maybe got lost in the lights. He went at Churio in spring training about missing a ball.
Yeah.
He is not bashful. And those guys, I'm sure, are well aware. I'm sure he told everybody, like, when it comes to the media, I'm just going to tell it straight, just like I tell it to you all. So don't be offended. This is how I am, and this is how we're going to be, and deal with it. They all seemingly love him. So, you know, if you love your manager and you're willing to play hard for your guy, then nothing else matters after that. Tim Mumma, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. You got anything fun and new up over at Brewer Fanatic?
I mean, just lots of stuff going on. Obviously, we do some series previews. We have week in review. And then, like I said, a number of guys, myself included, try to dive into some of the numbers and then seeing what works, what doesn't. For example, this lineup is not chasing pitches out of the zone, and they're swinging and making more contact at pitches in the zone. And it sounds simple, but that's a pretty good recipe to improve the offense. That's why they're, I think, second or third in baseball right now scoring runs. So you can get kind of that deep dive if you want it. Otherwise, you can kind of get the basics as well. So BrewerFanatic.com. Guys, at some point you might want to talk extension, but right now the Brewers are just happy to have him really lead the offense.
Absolute stud. No question about it. I mean, you think of Yadier Molina being that guy for 100 years in St. Louis and hating him every time you faced him. I would love William Contreras to be that guy every time somebody faces the Brewers. They don't want to deal with Contreras. Like, that would be the ultimate dream. He is Tim Mumma of BrewerFanatic.com. Check him out on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. You brought up MVP, so let's talk about Christian Yelich. You know, he gets off to a hot start. Fooled me. He did. I was in. I was like, oh boy. I mean, power's there, hitting balls off walls, hitting balls over the fence, defensively throwing guys out. Man, maybe. Maybe he finally turned the corner. Maybe this is going to be the dude who we saw before. Maybe finally. And then we have back spasms and we're back on the IL again. This is just kind of the reality, I think. Like, I just don't think realistically you could expect him to be what he was. Maybe you get stretches of, you know, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, where he catches fire and goes. But you almost have to go into every season thinking he's probably going to play like 120 of 162 or something along those lines, where you're going to lose him for stretches.
Yeah, that is the reality of it. And, you know, there are a number of ball players that go through that when they start to get into their 30s. I mean, Braun had the same kind of stretches, and you could point to a number of different players and teams where you have to kind of balance out, is he more valuable to us being that healthy 120, 130 games versus pushing him and trying to get him to those higher marks? But then are you risking further injury? Are you risking prolonged absences? And you can see, I mean, a little bit with the tail off at the offense, maybe the last week has been him out of the lineup. It does change things around as much as other guys have stepped up. But I think he can be still extremely valuable. I mean, last year, if you look at the overall resume that he had, okay, he didn't have all the power he was going to have as an MVP, and he's not going to ever have that again. But, you know, he hit plenty of home runs, especially hitting leadoff. He's getting on base. He's obviously a great base runner. And to your point, if he can keep playing well in the outfield, at least that keeps that DH spot open for other guys for the most part. So, again, you have to be realistic as you get into the later stages of a guy's career. I mean, I think it's great that he had this quick resurgence. Obviously, it just thinks that he goes on to the IL. But if they could manage it like they have, like I said, it's almost like the Ryan Braun path where you manage it as much as you can. Keep him in the lineup, you know, give him those off days when you can. And then if you can get him for a healthy 130 games where he is, you know, just a 110, 115 OPS plus kind of guy, I think that's huge, especially, again, because I think this lineup around him is going to be able to produce more than they did last year.
This offense is so good. We literally could talk about every single player on offense and praise everybody. So, you know, I know Willy Adames has been good and all that. Fine. I only got one more player I want to talk to you about. Jackson Chourio. Huge expectations coming into this season, Tim Mumma. Not really knowing what to expect. He got off to a good start. Then the Battle of Jacksons in Baltimore occurred. Both of them didn't do all that much. Then Chourio bounces back with a home run the other night and a couple of hits, and then follows that up with another 0-for game. I think this is kind of what you expect when you have a rookie, regardless of there's going to be these inconsistencies. He's going to get hot for stretches. You're like, ho, that's what we're talking about. And then he'll go into a little bit of a funk as people adjust to what he brings to the plate.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you brought up, Jackson Holliday. I think he started off like 1-for-20 or 1-for-21. I mean, it's going to happen. It's tough. It's the majors, man. I don't care how good you are. You're going to have those struggles, those adjustments. And I think as long as people can be, you know, understanding, and it seems like they are, I don't see anybody like trashing him online. I think they still like what he's doing and they understand there's going to be that. To your point, I think it's, you got to keep looking at the ceiling and what he can do to develop throughout the course of the year. You know, obviously don't worry too much about defense, but you see him a little bit skittish in the outfield yet and tracking some fly balls. But then, you know, he has that elite speed to make up for in the outfield. And then at the plate, just putting the ball in play, he'll hit for more power as he gets more mature, but just finding ways to battle, I think that's what people really want to see. He had an at bat the other day against the Padres, a big one at the time, and it was one of those, he's a rookie, because he really kind of was completely lost at the plate and ended up striking out swinging. So you're going to get those, but then you're going to get stretches where you see that elite talent come through and that he's going to carry the Brewers for a game or two, or he's going to have that big hit, or he's going to steal a base and then score, you know, score on a knock from somebody else. So I think, you know, it's exciting to see it. It's exciting to have somebody with all those expectations, as long as you keep it, you know, real and understand that he's not going to come out and hit 330 with 30 home runs. It's just never going to happen with a major leaguer anymore. So, you know, enjoy the stretches, cheer him on, don't get too down if he's struggling. And, you know, I think the nice part is, and Murphy's been doing that, is he'll move him up in the lineup when he's feeling good about him, and he'll hit him, you know, 7, 8, 9 when he's not, and hopefully that takes a little pressure off. He doesn't have to be the guy in this lineup. He can just kind of do his own thing when he needs to.
Let's talk about Pat Murphy. I love Pat Murphy. I mean, this is the most old school manager we've had in quite some time. I mean, obviously, I'm sure he buys into some analytics, but there's a lot of stuff like the fake steal to score run and stuff like that that you just have not seen in past years.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to see. I think, like you said, it's kind of an intriguing balance because he's obviously an older guy and he's been around the block. But You know, he's also sees what modern baseball is and what you need to focus on. And I'm sure he's working hand in hand with Arnold and the front office as far as making all those big decisions. But yeah, day to day, I think it's fun to see. And he's got a team that's, it's a diverse enough offense where you can do those little things. You can steal, you can try to hit and run, you can drop down some bunts. And then if you got guys that are in the middle of the order, they can knock them out and then let them do their thing. And that's what I was saying too. I mean, we look at it offensively because you can't, you know, you don't necessarily see those differences defensively, but you've seen them do little things that are slightly different in the bullpen. Some things look just like if Council was managing them. Other things, it looks like they're trying some new things, like, again, Uribe pitching in the eighth and then the fourth and then the seventh. You know, not that he was the closer, but just that they're moving around and pitching wherever they need to. So, I agree. And I know all the media people who've been dealing with Murphy have loved him since spring training.
He's so funny.
Just like a grandpa sitting back and chatting with everybody and doesn't really care. And sometimes that's the best person you can have with a microphone. It's like, yeah, I don't care what I say. This is who I am. And you just have to deal with it.
But you know what, though, that's funny about that? And I've brought this up. He doesn't call guys by name necessarily, but it's like, yeah, Bob must have got lost in the lights, didn't catch that one or whatever. I mean, He's just telling you, like, that should have been caught. We're not going to get into who it was, but, you know, there's a ball out there that maybe got lost in the lights. He went at Churio in spring training about missing a ball.
Yeah.
He is not bashful. And those guys, I'm sure, are well aware. I'm sure he told everybody, like, when it comes to the media, I'm just going to tell it straight, just like I tell it to you all. So don't be offended. This is how I am, and this is how we're going to be and deal with it. They all seemingly love him. So, you know, if you love your manager, you're willing to play hard for your guy, then nothing else matters after that. Tim Mumma, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. You got anything fun and new up over at Brewer Fanatic?
I mean, just lots of stuff going on. Obviously, we do some series previews. We have week in review. And then, like I said, a number of guys, myself included, try to dive into some of the numbers and then seeing what works, what doesn't. For example, this lineup is not chasing pitches out of the zone, and they're swinging and making more contact at pitches in the zone. And it sounds simple, but that's a pretty good recipe to improve the offense. That's why they're, I think, second or third in baseball right now, scoring runs. So you can get kind of that deep dive if you want it. Otherwise, you can kind of get the basics as well. So BrewerFanatic.com. Guys are over there who are leading things, doing a great job.
All right, Tim Mumma, thank you so much, my friend. Follow him at Tim_Mumma. Check out the website, Brewer Fanatic. We'll do this every Friday with somebody over at Brewer Fanatic. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sparky. Take care, man.
You betcha. Take care.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.